Hello, and welcome to I Watch This As an Adult, the podcast where I review movies from my childhood from an adult perspective. And this week I'll be reviewing 1995's Rumble in the Bronx. Hey guys, welcome to the show. This week I'm going to be talking about Rumble in the Bronx starring Jackie Chan. First off, I gotta start off with, I don't know if I should start off with this, or, because I'm kind of thinking about it, I've been thinking about it in my mind, I was like, I don't know if I should start off with this and start the show off with a downer or end the show with a downer. I think I'm gonna start it off since I've mentioned it already. Rest in peace to DMX, man. Rest in peace to Earl Simmons. Like, this dude was quite possibly my favorite fucking rapper of all time. I got a weird top five when it comes to rappers. I think my number one is Ice Cube, actually. I loved Ice Cube when I was a kid. I actually dressed up for Halloween as Ice Cube when I was like 6 years old. I had like the Los Angeles Raiders hat, and I had a hoodie on, you know, I had the scowl and shit. Sadly or luckily, I don't know, there's no pictures of me dressed up as Ice Cube for Halloween, so I can't prove that happened, but it did happen, because I remember walking around in white neighborhoods, and they were like, oh, so what are you, little boy? And I was like, I'm Ice Cube, you know, and it was like, okay. I think some people were like, they were like, oh, what is Ice Cube? I was like, he's a rapper, you know. And so I was like, hey, cuh, I'm a rapper, cuh. No, I was just in front of. But like, Ice Cube's up there, Nas is up there. Eminem is up there in my top five. Trying to think who else, but DMX is in my top five. Oddly, I know a lot of people wouldn't have DMX in their top five. Oh, Method Man's up there. You know, I got a slew of rappers that I do like, but I want to say like my top five are Ice Cube, Method Man, Nas, DMX, and Eminem. Like, those are my top five. I probably left somebody out. I'm like, oh shit, I forgot about that nigga. But like, those are the ones that I listen to a lot. Mystical, I forgot. Mystical is up there too. I'll probably say he's like number six. You know, I told you I got a weird top five, top ten rappers, you know, like, but Mystical is probably up there, and she's close to top five to me. I loved Mystical growing up, I remember, but, I was a Mystical fan, but, and I even like Juvenile. Juvenile's in my top 10 too. I got a weird top 10. I'm not gonna say, oh, Jay-Z, or, you know, to be honest with you, I don't even really like Jay-Z that much. But, you know, not really a Jay-Z fan like that. You know, like, I'm not gonna say guys like that. I'm not gonna say Wayne. You know, like, not really a Lil Wayne fan like that. You know, Not gonna say guys like that. Who's another guy that everybody holds up there? I'm not gonna say Rakim. I respect Rakim. Rakim not my top five. You know, like guys like that, not my top five. You know, I respect those dudes. I respect those dudes, but they're not my top five. Like I told you, it's weird. I got a weird. That's like my top seven. It's like Ice Cube, Method Man, DMX, Nas is probably the only one that everybody would be unanimous with. Even Eminem's kind of shaky to people. Like Eminem, Juvenile, and Mystical. That's like my top seven, like, favorite rappers of all time. But but who was I saying? Yeah, but yeah, man, but like, yeah, I'm saying, like, DMX is like up in my top five, though, man. Like, my favorite fucking rappers of all time, man. Like I said, I haven't listened to everything this nigga put out, though. I haven't listened to everything that everybody's ever put out, you know? Like, it's like, I like metal, too. Like, I haven't listened to every fucking metal album that anybody's ever put out either, you know? So, you know, it was like, I listen to what I can listen to, you know? Like, you know, I didn't have money to buy everybody's fucking album, you know? Didn't have that type of money. But yeah, man, but those first, but DMX, man, those first, like, I'm just gonna say this, man. First of all, before I get into any of his albums, It's Dark, Hell Is Hot, underrated classic, man. It's a fucking classic. And now, only now, people are recognizing it as a classic after he's dead. I was like, that album does not have one skippable song. It doesn't have one skippable song. Even How's It Going Down, which is like a song that I know the label made him put on. Because you listen to that song in the order of the album, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fucking fit. Even like, it's not even my favorite song on an album, but it's not bad. But you could tell like that was, he like, you need to put a love song on here. You need a song that the bitches will love. You know some shit like that. You know, that was record label thinking to put that song on that album. All the rest of the album is about fucking robbing and killing and talking to the devil and talking about having fucking bipolar disorder and shit like that, you know? But this song does not fit on this album, but still unskippable. It's still unskippable. You know, there's not one skippable song on that album. It's a perfect fucking rap album. Perfect. It's about as perfect as Nas's first. It's about as perfect as Illmatic, because Illmatic is another album where I was like, dude, there's not one skippable song on this fucking album. You know, like, it's crazy. I mean, it's a little bit longer than Illmatic, because I think Illmatic's like, what, 10 songs maybe? I think, I'm trying to remember, maybe like 9 or 10 songs. It's not, Illmatic's not a long album. But, dude, it's, he made a fucking classic out the gate, and I want people to recognize, if you know about DMX from other shit, you know, like, you know, y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here, or some shit like that, you know him from that, or X gonna give it to y'all, all that shit, you know, like, a lot of shit that fucking white people know, like, that's the only thing that white people know about him. They know, X gonna give it to you, and they know Party Up, and they don't even call it, I don't think they even call it Party Up, I don't think they even know the song, I don't think they even know the name of the song, they just call it Y'all Gonna Make Me Lose My Mind, but the name of the song is Party Up, okay, that's the name of the fucking song. What the fuck was I talking about, I'm getting mad about white people not knowing fucking DMX's fucking catalog, but, cause like every time a white person talks about DMX, they talk about X gonna give it to you, because they saw that shit in fucking Deadpool, or they've heard Party Up somewhere, or they might know Rough Riders Anthem. They may know Rough Riders Anthem. You know, that's another song that white people may know. They may know Rough Riders Anthem. They don't know Fucking With D. They don't know Here We Go Again. They don't know all these other fucking songs. Damien, quite possibly my favorite fucking DMX song. Damien is my favorite DMX song of all time. I love fucking Damien. I know he's got a lot of hitters. He's got a lot of fucking hitters, but I love Damien, because that shit speaks to me. You know, like, I've had a fucking devil on my shoulder trying to tell me to do bad things, you know. You know, like, I've had that before. It was like, I have fucking dealt with that shit in my life, where it's like, you know, like, you know, even talking about dealing with bipolar and being manic depressive, man, you know, like, I feel that shit, bruh, you know, but, you know, I feel that shit a ton, but, and I probably, that's probably why I love DMX, because, like, you know, I'm not as fucking crazy as DMX, you know, but I connected to DMX, he spoke to me, you know, so, but I've never done drugs or anything like that either, but for some reason, like, he was the one rapper that fucking spoke to me when I heard. I remember the first time, it was like one of my buddies had It's Dark and Hell Is Hot, and we were listening to it. Like, he was a huge DMX fan, and I was like, who's DMX? And, like, you let me listen to DMX, and, like, it was like I saw God. It was like, oh my God, this is the greatest. I was like, this is the greatest fucking album ever. I was like, DMX is the greatest fucking rapper ever. I was like, this dude is fucking awesome. I was like, I gotta hear more of him. You know? That's how I felt. His Dark and Hell Is Hot was on fucking repeat. Then he had Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood. I wasn't able to get that album. I didn't hear that album until, like, a lot later, you know, sadly, because I had It's Dark and Hell Is Hot. I went back and listened to Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood. Then there was X, and I had The Great Depression. The Great Depression is not a great album. It's one of his weakest. It's one of his weakest albums. An underrated album that nobody talks about is Grand Champ, because a lot of people think that's when he fell off, but no, Grand Champ's pretty fucking good. He got Shot Down with 50 Cent and Styles. Rob All Night is fucking, I love Rob All Night is fucking dope. What was the other one? Rain? You fucking Rain, nigga? Shit. But Rob All Night is my favorite song on there. You're like, if I'm gonna rob, I'm gonna rob all night. If I'm gonna... That's fucking dope. Fuck. Y'all need to go back and listen to Grand Champ. Listen to Rob All Night. Rob All Night is fucking dope. You know? I haven't listened to that song in a while, but I remember that shit. I remember Rob All Night. This shit's fucking dope. It's better than, I remember 50 Cent had a song called How to Rob. I think I'm not gonna put a blasphemy on How to Rob, though. I'm not gonna do that, but, like, Rob All Night is equivalent to How to Rob. You know, like, it's fucking dope. I love it. But, dude, man, I just want to say, man, like, the dude passed away. He had 15 kids. He's leaving behind a wife. He's leaving behind an ex-wife. He's leaving behind an adoptive daughter. I did not know about this. I found this out. But DMX actually adopted the girl from Everybody Hates Chris, the girl that played Chris Rock's love interest in Everybody Hates Chris. And she also played DMX's daughter in Cradle to the Grave. He adopted that girl. That's his adopted daughter. I did not know that. I did not know that till now. You know, it's crazy. Fucking crazy. Her name is Paige Hurd. He adopted that girl, Paige Hurd. I think she's on Power now. The girl from Power. I think she's on Power. And she's on a Tyler Perry show, The Oval. She's on that. But yeah, Paige Hurd. He actually adopted that girl, took that girl into his home and made her his daughter. Like, he took care of her, and they were close to the day he died. You know, they were very close. I did not know that. I thought it was just like, I saw her in a picture with him, and I thought it was like, oh, this is some co-star shit. No, that's his daughter. that's his little girl. You know, like, that's his baby girl. I was like, yo, man, I did not even know that shit. But yeah, man, like DMX was always a fucking dichotomy, you know, like, he was always a, you know, like, two sides of a coin. He was the two-face of rap, you know, like, there's a good side to this man, and there's, like, a fucking dark side to this man. you know, and I chose to talk about more of the good, you know, more of his like accomplishments, you know, like his albums, you know, like adopting a little girl, you know, like just him being like just this fucking emotional, open, vulnerable dude. And that's like kind of hard in rap, you know, like to be like this open, emotional, just vulnerable dude. Like that's not hip hop, you know, because like DMX is the type of dude that like he'll cry, but he'll also split your wig open too. Like don't fuck with him, you know, like those are like those are the most dangerous dudes on the planet, you know, like. I'm kind of like that. I'll cry, but I'll fucking bust your shit open. You know, like, don't fuck with me. And don't let the squeaky voice fucking fool you. I'll fuck you up. But, you know, but yeah, dude had a lot of fucking, like I said, dude had a lot of fucking demons. Like, dude, but, like, he also had, like, this fucking, like, vulnerability and this sweetness to him, man. It was like, it's very weird, you know. It's something you've never seen in hip hop. There will never be another DMX, man. There will never be another DMX. And I just personally, I know I've never met DMX, and DMX doesn't know me. I just want to personally thank him for having so much music that got me through life. You know, like I was like, you know, like I had my issues, you know, I've been bullied, you know, when I was a little kid, you know, and that turned into like fucking mental issues and things like that, you know, like I suffer from depression. I've never been this open on this podcast, but I suffer from depression also. And you know, like people like DMX like got me through it, man. Like just listening to his stuff just like frees my mind and opens it up, you know, like I fucking love his music, man. And I just want to say thank you. You helped a 13-year-old boy through a lot, and I'm still here today. Even though I don't know you, thank you. That's all I got to say about DMX. Rest in peace, dog. Rest in peace. Let's give a little for DMX. All right. Rest in peace, brother. Now let's move on to Falcon and the Winter Soldier. That was a weird segue. Maybe I should have saved that for the end. But let's talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier, episode 4. And if you want to talk about downers, oh my god, what a fucking downer this episode was. Trying to remember as much as I can, because like that ending just took me out. Oh my god. Where we left off, we go back to where we left off with Io. I learned her name because I think last episode I just called her the fine chick, the fine bald chick with the big old booty. That ass is fat though. That ass is rotund. But what the fuck was I saying? Oh yeah, but like we left off with Io. She was talking to Bucky about Zemo, and she was like, he got 24 hours with Zemo, and after that she coming for him, and that was it. And then they so the Flash Smashers girl went to a funeral, like one of her friends or something. Was I even paying attention to that? Because I don't even remember. Because, like, these episodes go by so fast that a lot of the shit don't stick with you. But, it's probably something I gotta watch again. But like, she, one of her friends or something died. And she went to her funeral. And fucking Zemo. Man. Fucking Baron Zemo, bruh. This nigga. Because, like, they were trying to get information out of people. Sam and Bucky. We're trying to get information out of people to know where the Flash Smasher girl was going to go. I forgot her name. What was her fucking name? Her name? Carly? Carly? Carly. They were trying to know where Carly is. They were trying to see where she was. They were trying to find her. And they went Because, like, Bucky and Sam just, you know, did old school, like, yo, you know where so-and-so is? You know where she at? You know? And fucking Zemo, bruh. Fucking Baron Zemo. This nigga had, like, a bag of Turkish Delights, which is, like, candy. And which I think is, like, candy. It looked like candy. I've never had a Turkish Delight. But, from what I heard, they're quite delicious. But I might want to try one. But he had a Turkish Delight. He had a bag of Turkish Delights. He found some kids. He sung to them. He sung like Baba Black Sheep to the kids in a fucking creepy ass way. Fucking got some, Baron Zemo's got some pedophile tendencies. by the way, dude threw the Turkish Delights on a fucking table. And you had the kids come over, and told one of the kids, he's like, hey, do you know where Carly is? And, like, the kid just fucking told him because he gave her some fucking candy. Oh, my God. And so Baron Zemo knows where Carly is, the Flag Smasher girl. I'm just going to call her Flag Smasher because in the comics there actually is a character called Flag Smasher, but it's a big buff dude. You know, the big dude in here, Flag Smash, is a little biracial girl with red hair. But, you know. Yeah, she's cute, though. I like the actress that plays her. I think her name is Erin Kellyman. She's cute. She's actually a cute little girl. She's like fucking 22. She's too fucking young for me, but, you know. But I was saying, like, she's a cute little girl. Like, if I was 22, I'd ask her out. But anyway, moving on. But anyway, I was saying, like, Flag Smasher in the comics, he's a big dude, but here she's a little fucking redhead biracial girl. But I digress. So they go and fucking find Carly. Sam is like, I want to talk to her. And who the fuck sticks his goddamn nose in everything but fucking John Walker? John Walker, bitch ass. I am. After what he did in this episode, I'm totally fine. I'm not on the fence about this nigga no more. I am not on the fence about him anymore. He's a fucking bitch. John Walker, bitch ass. I'm just gonna say. and his little pet coon Lamar. They showed up. And just fucked everything up, right? And Sam is just like, yo, I'm gonna go talk to her. And they're like, John's like, well, we need to put her in prison. I need to catch her. And all this shit. And Sam goes and fucking talks to her. And he's got her. He's fucking got her. Fucking John Walker, bitch ass. That's gonna be his name from now on. Bitch ass John Walker. Bitch ass John Walker goes and fucks it all up with his fucking hoorah bullshit. And, like, she escapes. She fucking escapes. She had the super soldier serum on her. Baron Zemo tried to bust her fucking melon open, by the way. He saw her. He was like, you were busting caps at her ass. And then he saw she had the super serum, like, spilled all over the place in the vials. And he just started smashing the motherfuckers. And I think, like, bitch ass John Walker stopped him. And you know what happens after that. John Walker saw the super soldier serum, and you can make your conclusions on there. If you haven't seen the episode. If you haven't seen the episode, well, I'm spoiling it for you, motherfucker. But, spoiler alert. So they were telling John Walker, bitch ass John Walker, that you fucked everything up. And Sam was like, I had her. I could have brought her in, like, without fucking threat. You know, like, I could have brought her in. And you're like, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. And blah, 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 blah. And all his bitch assness. And then the fucking Dora Milaje shows up. Because Sam and John were about to fight. They was about to square up. And then the Dora Milaje just came out of nowhere. I don't know how they got in the fucking room. The Dora Milaje came up in that motherfucker. I don't know how the fuck they got in the room. And like, just the spear just came fucking flying at their ass. And then the Dora Milaje up in that motherfucker. And so, bitch ass John Walker go try to talk to the Dora Milaje like they stupid. You know, because all he know is bitch assness. So he tried to talk to them like they stupid. And then he goes, and even Sam and Bucky were like, dude, I don't think you want to fucking test them. You know, like, you're like, these some bad bitches. And so bitch ass John Walker gonna go ahead and put his fucking hand on Io. And she gave that nigga that work. She gave him that fucking work. And the door, then Sam and Bucky got fucking fight the Dora Milaje. You know, and Zemo was like, I see y'all fighting. This is my time to exit. You know, Zemo escapes. He gets the fuck up out of there. Like, he crawled through a fucking sewer like a goddamn Ninja Turtle. And they gave John Walker that goddamn work. It was, oh my god. And he got embarrassed. And he was like, they're not even super soldiers. He was like, he got like a little fucking, like, John, bitch ass John Walker got like a fucking little dick complex. You know? He got a little dick complex about it. So he went and took that, blue stuff and became super strong. And so, like, the second time, so this is what set Sam off. Carly calls Sam's sister and threatened her. So Sam is like, all right, I gotta go get this bitch. So he's threatening my family. And like, he threatened her and his nephew. So he was like, nah, you threatening my family, you got to go now. So he went in Falcon uniform. Him and Bucky, we got in their costumes. And they went to go find this bitch. And you're like, you threatened, and like Sam was like, you threatened my family? That's how it's going down? You know? And he was just like, you know? He was like, I'm about to kill your ass, bitch. Some shit like that. But I was trying to be nice, but you went too far. And then bitch ass John Walker and Pet Coon Lamar showed up and just made things a little bit worse. And so they had like a big ass fight. They captured Pet Coon Lamar, the Flag Smashers. They tied him up and shit. For what happened to him later, he probably might have wanted to stay tied up. So they had this big ass fight. They got knives and shit. I think Carly was about to stab bitch ass John Walker. And Pet Coon Lamar, I'm not gonna call him this because what happened, I'm just gonna call him Lamar, stepped in, tackled Carly. Carly got him the fuck off, and she like fucking threw this motherfucker at a pillar and broke his neck. That's right, Lamar is dead. She killed Lamar. And bitch ass John Walker went over there. He was like, Lamar, wake up, Lamar, and he's just like, ain't nobody home, brother. He dead. So bitch ass John Walker go crazy and start like chasing the Flag Smashers. He catch one of the Flag Smashers, who ironically is a big fan of Captain America, by the way, and he fucking murders that nigga. He like decapitates that motherfucker. He fucking takes his head off with the shield. And guess what happened? He did that shit in front of everybody. In front of civilians. Everybody got their goddamn camera phones out. All that shit. Everybody saw Captain America kill somebody. He had blood on the shield and everything. I was like, oh man, this nigga, this motherfucker done. he done for show. You know, he done. this is like one of the best episodes though. This is one of the best episodes so far right now, man. I'm kind of sad that there's only like two more episodes left. I wish there was like at least like, I wish this was eight episodes like WandaVision, really. Because where do they go from here? Where do they fucking go from here? I guess we just gonna have to find out. I'll be back with my review for Rumble in the Bronx after these messages. Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And be sure to add our podcast in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. Rumble in the Bronx, 1995. You know, I like to start it off. Let's talk about how I saw it as a child. Initially, I did not see this in the theaters. I did not see it when it initially came out, actually. I saw this a couple years after it came out. I believe I saw this movie as a part of a weekend long like Jackie Chan film marathon. I remember, I think when I was like 13, I think I was like 12 or 13, I think I want to say I was 13 years old, and so that was like 98, it was like 1998 when I was 13. And so, because I remember, yeah, cause I think I remember I watched the Jackie Chan movie marathon, because I remember I went on, this is funny, because I remember the day I saw it, I think I went on some errands. I went on like an errand run with my grandmother. I went on an errand run with my grandmother, and I think I was like talking her head off. I just got into Pokemon. I think I was like talking her, I talked my grandmother's head off about Pokemon. And like I had like, I remember that day. I remember that day, I was like, I went on it, like, we went on an errand, and I was just talking my grandmother's head off about Pokemon, because I just got into Pokemon, and I was like, I had, like, a big-ass, like, Pokemon book. I was a fucking, oh my god, but every kid liked Pokemon back then, like, so, like, it wasn't, like, I was, like, some kind of, like, geek or anything like that, you know, but every kid liked Pokemon in my school at that time, so, like, I had, like, this big-ass Pokemon book, you know? And, like, I was just, like, and, like, we were in the car, and, like, she was driving, I was reading the book, and I was just talking her head off about Pokemon. And, yeah, this is Shad, this is Pikachu, and this is Sandshrew, and this is a Nidoqueen, and Squirtle, and I was just, like, yeah, this is Mewtwo, and I was just, like, talking her head off about the shit. Like, Dragonite, I was just talking about all of them, I'm like, you got Ghastly, Ghastly's a ghost Pokemon, and he does dark energy, you know, I'm just talking to her fucking head off about Pokemon, and I remember that, and then I remember talking to her, I was like, we gotta get back, I gotta get back home, because I don't want to miss the Jackie Chan marathon. I was like, and like my grandmother doesn't like violence because she's a Jehovah's Witness, and my grandmother is a Jehovah's Witness, and she was like, I don't want you watching that. What is that? She was like, Jackie Chan, and you know, like, and she's like, because she asked me, does he shoot people? That's what she told me. She asked if Jackie Chan shoots people. And I was like, no, he does karate. He does, like, kung fu. And I was just like, I told her. And she was like, I still don't know if I want you to watch that. And I was like, no, he doesn't. I'm like, he doesn't kill people. You know, like, he just beats them up. And she's like, still, I don't want you watching it or something like that. And I was just like, you know, but anyway, I remember, and I was like racing home, and I went home and watched the fucking Jackie Chan marathon. I stayed up till like 4 in the morning watching Jackie Chan movies. Cause I think they had like Jackie Chan movies, and it was like they was playing everything. They was playing like Project A. They was playing Meals on Wheels, which is one of my favorites. I like that one. Like him, Sammo Hung, and Yuen Biao. That's a fucking good one. I think they're playing Dragons Forever. I think they play Snake in the Eagle Shadow too. They play I think they played like Operation Condor. They were playing all the goddamn movies, but like that was like the first time I saw Rumble in the Bronx was on a Jackie Chan film marathon that they showed on TV like all weekend. I want to say that they showed some other shit too, because I think that's where I saw the Heroic Trio for the first time too, which probably another movie I'll get into later. But I like that movie too, the Heroic Trio. I'll explain that one later whenever I get to it. But so you gotta stay tuned, people. Stay tuned. Make sure you follow on Spotify and like on Apple Podcasts. Remember all that. But anyway. Those ratings will be good too. If you can drop me some ratings and tell me you like the show, that'll be nice as well. But anyway, yeah, back to Rumble in the Bronx. back to Rumble in the Bronx. But yeah, that's the first time I saw Rumble in the Bronx. I saw it in a film marathon. So, cause like I've always been a big fan of like Asian action films, the Asian cinema. So, like, this shit was, like, right up my alley. Because, like, I'm, like, the movies I could talk about on this podcast, dude. I've always been a fan of, like, Asian cinema. Like, you ever seen The Bride with the White Hair? You know, like, have you ever seen that movie? That movie's dope. Like I said, Heroic Trio, Executioners. God damn it. Lady Dragons. You know, a lot of great fucking... All those movies are about women, you know? that's just the tippy top. I've always been a big fan of Asian cinema. I've always fucking loved it since I was a little kid. So this shit was right up my fucking alley. Let's get into the movie. Let's get into like production of the movie. This movie was directed by Stanley Tong. The script was written by Edward Tang and Phoebe Ma. That's how I see it pronounced, Phoebe, because it's spelled F-I-B-E, something like Phoebe Ma. So I'm just going to say Phoebe Ma. I don't know if that's a man or a woman. So it could be Phoebe like a woman. You know, women are named Phoebe. But anyway. The film has a Rotten Tomato score of 80%, which I was shocked that it got reviewed so well. Because even Roger Ebert loved it. Roger Ebert gave it a thumbs up. You know, I'm shocked at how well received this movie was by critics. Very shocked. Because this looks like the type of movie that critics and Rotten Tomatoes and all these other people would bash. But they didn't. They liked it. I was very surprised by that when I was doing my research on this movie. The budget on the movie was $7.5 million, and it brought in $76 million at the box office, or crushed the box office, made his money back tenfold. I mean, when you want to talk about the plot of the movie, there isn't much plot, per se, to this movie. Because the plot of the movie is very flimsy, because like it starts off with Jackie Chan's character named Kyung. It starts with Kyung fighting off like a gang, you know, like they're a gang, like they terrorize the city and shit. He gets involved and like they start trying to make his life a living hell, pretty much. They just when he interfered one time with them, and They were just like, yeah, we just gonna make this dude a living hell, and like his life a living hell until we fucking kill him. You know, pretty much it was. It started off as that, and I like that. But then it devolved into like this like low budget James Bond film about diamonds. You know, and they're fighting like these fucking international jewel thieves or whatever the fuck, you know. It's like these guys in like men in black suits and shit. You know, it turns into that. And so like it's kind of a flimsy premise. It's kind of a flimsy plot. So you got that. So we got that. The best thing about this whole movie is Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan is a star. Jackie Chan is a star. This is his first starring role. This is like his introduction to America, pretty much. Because I don't think anybody in America knew who he was. Like, mainstream America didn't know who he was before this movie. He's a huge megastar by this time in China. Huge megastar in China. This movie, I think, is probably the best showcase of his talent. Not a great movie, but it's like it's the best showcase of Jackie Chan's talent. You know, like the fight scenes and the stunts are like Jackie Chan, like they show Jackie Chan in like his purest form. You know, because I go back and look at this movie, I was like, wow, it was like this is what Jackie Chan is. You know, because even like the fight scenes are great. His martial arts is crisp in this movie. His stunt work is crisp in this movie. And as he gets older, as he starts doing more American productions, you can tell like they kind of watered him down. You know, you can tell that they kind of make him cookie cutter, because I think they're like at this time they're trying to sell him to children. You know, because a lot of like Jackie Chan's kind of like the kid friendly action hero, you know. So they're really trying to sell him to children. And they kind of water him down. Because here, he's a fucking beast. He's a badass. Here, you know, like, he's a badass here. Because, like, I've always looked at his American productions and been kind of disappointed. Kind of disappointed. Because I'm like, we really don't know how to use Jackie the way that they use him in China. You know, I understand why. Because they're trying to sell him to children. And, you know, like, you want to be careful, you know, like, they don't want him to get hurt, they don't want him to die, you know, because if he's dead, they can't get no more money out of him, they're not getting back their, they're not recouping, you know, like, they're not recouping their money back, you know, if he's dead, you know, so they want to keep him safe, they want to keep him alive. You know, so they're not gonna have him do the outrageous, crazy stunts that he used to do in China. Here in America, I understand that. I kind of get it, but it's not the best Jackie Chan you'll see. Like, this is like Jackie in his purest fucking form, in his raw form. This is him right here. This movie is an example of that. The villains in this movie are over the top, especially the gang. The gang is so over the top. Because there was the main guy, he's just like, because like I think like he's like, what do you think you're doing? It's like they're over the fucking top, because like you got the main guy, I think his name is Tony, and then you got like his right hand man Angelo. Those guys are just crazy. They're crazy. They got like a Cholo Ben Stiller in here. They got like some Asian dude with long hair. Like they look like some fucking Saturday morning cartoon villains, really. That's what they do. They look like some Saturday morning cartoon villains. I'm surprised there weren't any Rumble in the Bronx action figures. Very surprised about that. I would have bought them. I was at the age range. I was still playing with action figures. I was like 9 or 10. I think I was probably 9 when this movie came out, but like I would have bought it. But yeah, man, like, these villains are fucking over the top. Even, like, the Men in Black villains that come in, they're kind of, like, subtly over the top. Where, like, they try to be too serious in a movie that's really fucking slapstick. You know? They try too hard to be serious here. All the black people in this movie, yes, there are black people in Rumble in the Bronx. They don't play too big of a role, but all the black people in this movie are cringe. The fucking cringe. There's like this dude that just comes out of nowhere. Oh, yeah, yeah. With like Jackie Chan's beating up like the gang members and shit. There's this guy that comes, this black guy that comes out of nowhere, like, oh god, man, that was awesome. How you do all that shit? Yeah, 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 and all this shit. I was like, that is cringe. Jackie Chan's uncle, who he comes to see in America, he owns a store. He owns a store. He's marrying a black woman, a big black woman. And she's cringe as shit too. They even have her singing. Like, they got her and Jackie Chan's uncle got married and they had her singing at the goddamn wedding. And I'm like, this shit is cringe as fuck. This is so uncomfortable. You know. And then like they got the two cops that help Jackie Chan. They got the one that look like Steve Harvey. In there, like, he's always smoking on a fucking cigar. He's like, what about it? Because, like, I think, like, it's like the police chief or something. I don't know who the fuck this white guy, this fat white guy is. And he's, like, telling, he's using Jackie to try to get the diamonds off the dudes, off the Men in Black dudes. And he was telling him, like, don't worry, nothing's going to happen, you know? And then, like, Steve Harvey cop was like, what about the time they threw a grenade into the blah, 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 and all this shit. He was like, you better be careful. Yeah, yeah. The black people in this movie are fucking cringe. That's bottom line. Also, this kid, this fucking kid in this movie, this paralyzed kid, he's fucking annoying as shit. Oh my god, he's so goddamn annoying. He's always asking about a cushion. He's always asking about his sister. Cause his sister is in the gang. I forgot her fucking name. I think her name is Nancy. Nancy. His sister Nancy is in the goddamn gang. And she's like, she's never here. She's always neglecting me and all this bullshit. And he's always fucking, like I said, he's always fucking bitching about this cushion. You tell me you were gonna give me a new cushion. All this bullshit. I was like, bitch, shut up. You know, shut the fuck up. You know, I was so happy when that kid got roughed up at towards the end. Like, when the Men in Black dudes are smacking that motherfucker around. I laughed my ass off when he got smacked the fuck up by one of the fucking Men in Black dudes. I laughed so fucking hard. Fuck that kid. But anyway, like I was talking about Nancy. Nancy played by, I think, I'm trying to say her name right, Francois Yip. I think her name is Francois Yip. Played by Francois Yip. She is dull as fucking dishwater, man. Like, she's supposed to be Jackie Chan's love interest, and she is just so fucking dull. Like, there's nothing. I'm like, she's not even. I'm like, she's not even. They try to make her pretty, and she's not even all that hot to me. You know, like, she's not the hottest thing in this movie. You know, but that's what they gave Jackie to work with. She's not that good. The only other interesting character in this movie is Lang, played by Anita Moy, who I've always had a crush on. I ain't gonna lie. Like, I've always had a crush. Every time I seen her, because I watch a lot of Asian cinema. I've always had a crush on her. I've had a crush on her and Maggie Chung. If you know who Maggie Chung is, she's also an Asian cinema star. I always had a crush on her and Maggie Chung. Her and Maggie Chung. Oh, I always had a fucking thing for. but like Anita Moy, kind of dated a girl my first year in college with an Anita Moy hair, with the same hairstyle that Anita Moy had in this fucking movie. and she had glasses too. She's kind of like a black. She was like a black. She looked like a black Anita Moy. I dated a girl for a short period of time that looked like a black Anita Moy, and the way she looked in Rumble in the Bronx. I dated a girl like that. I had a crush on Anita Moy. I was like, I thought she was one of the prettiest things ever. Sadly, I was so sad. I might say when I heard that she passed away, you know, like in 2003, I didn't know she passed away. It was a couple years before I knew. I think I found out on like Wikipedia that she had died. I was like, oh, dude, that sucks. But yeah, man, Anita Moy is fucking hilarious. she's like the comedy relief in here, man. She's like the store. She's like the new store owner. And like, there's some points in here where like just her movements, you know, cause she's not really speaking English. It's like it's a dub over. Like they're voicing her over. I don't know how good her English is, but it's like it looked like she did say some things in English, cause like the dubbing and the her mouth movements kind of match up a little bit, but you can tell it's not her talking. I don't know if she went back and did it, but I don't know. But yeah, like you can tell. But like her mannerisms are just so, she's just so spastic and erratic. You know, she's just great at physical comedy. You know, like she was another great character in this movie. I loved Anita Moy in this movie. But yeah, there's really nothing else that I can say about this movie. Really, like the action's good. This movie showcases Jackie well. You know, the only weak thing about it is the plot, and Anita Moy's slapstick physical comedy is funny. You know, she's really good at that. Other than that, I got nothing else to say. 4 out of 5 for me. Join me next week when I review 1996's Set It Off. Until then, peace.